Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
When the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meet, it always makes news. It should. It's a big deal. Sometimes it's more newsy than other times. Now, what have the Catholic bishops been talking about lately in their recent meeting? Well, they've been talking about religious liberty. And it's connected to the fact that they feel, they sense that with the recent cultural opening up of new definitions of marriage and recent governmental policy changes about support for abortion, their religious liberty and the religious liberty of Catholic agencies is being infringed upon. The real question is, how is that story being covered, especially in the biggest news outlets like the New York Times? Joining us to talk about media coverage of religious liberty in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and an alleged statement, a very inflammatory statement, made by a Baptist pastor at a Oklahoma City Council meeting and how it was covered. Bobby Ross Jr., an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thanks, Todd. Glad to be here.
How important, as a journalist, how important is a headline to the objectivity of the overall story?
Well, I think a headline is crucial. It's what readers see, and it immediately jumps out and gives you the first impression of the story. And sometimes the frustrating part for the reporter is you don't get to write the headline, so you're kind of at the mercy of whoever does.
In the case that you have written about recently with regard to the New York Times coverage of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops meeting, it's not just the headline, it's also the story. Tell us about it.
Well, the story was the Catholic bishops raising concerns about religious liberty and the church's ability to keep doing certain, I guess, social service programs that it does in light of same-sex marriage and gaining wider acceptance in society. And so some of the media, including the Associated Press, covered it pretty straight as far as, you know, the bishops raising concerns about religious liberty. You mentioned headlines. The AP headline that I saw was Bishops Say Government Eroding Religious Liberty, which to me is dead on what happened. But the headline that kind of concerned me was the one in the New York Times where it was Bishops Open Religious Liberty Drive, and they put religious liberty in quotes, which kind of, you know, a lot of times, you know, people will see that as scare quotes, and their religious liberty in quote marks has a different meaning than just putting it out there without that phrase in quote marks, if that makes sense.
I mean, the story is, and this is a story that's been brewing for 5 or 6 years at least, the story is one that does not begin primarily as religious liberty, but certainly impacts religious liberty, not only for Roman Catholics, but for all sorts of religious social service agencies, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it does, and I think, you know, in Catholic circles and evangelical Christian circles, it's, you know, there's rising concern that you know, I think at one time the issue was, can, you know, among some conservative Christians, can we fight some of these issues in society such as same-sex marriage? And I think that in a lot of cases that fight's still going, but there's also others who are suddenly looking up and saying the tide has changed in society, and can we even keep our own religious beliefs now, or are we going to be under pressure to, you know, to not even be able to hold fast to those traditional beliefs that we've had forever and that are important to us and our faith?
So in essence, the New York Times coverage of this issue of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops seems to kind of blatantly be bent toward making it sound like religious liberty is a pretense on the part of the bishops.
that I hate to question motives or judge motives, but you know the intro on the Time story was that the bishops opened a new front in their fight against abortion and same-sex marriage, as if the religious liberty issue was not a genuine concern, but rather a new tactic because the only issues they care about are abortion and same-sex marriage.
What about in the body of the story, those who are quoted? What did you note there?
Well, they do quote, it's been a couple of days since I read it, but they do quote bishops, you know, raising some of their concerns, but then it seems like they go out of their way to find a source at the end that they identified as a liberal Catholic commentator who raised concerns about the bishops not really caring about poverty or economic justice issues, but rather focusing on abortion and the religious liberty issue, as if those are mutually exclusive issues.
What is the lens that's being used here by the New York Times to view the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops? How would you describe that?
I would describe it as a political lens and covering the bishops as you would a state legislature or Congress, and just assuming that everything is about politics. And I'm not so naive as to think that maybe it is, but I think from a journalistic perspective, you have to have the goods, and I just like the approach of AP better, where they put the facts out there, and then it's up to the readers to decide whether this is legitimate or a political maneuver, as opposed to just opening a story and telling people, you know, this is just the latest in a political fight against certain kinds of hot-button things in society that the bishops don't like.
Do you think that media consumers generally are savvy enough to take note of or raise the eyebrow, if you will, when they see something like a headline that has, as you called it, kind of the scare quotes around religious liberty? Do you think that the average media consumer picks up on that?
You know, I wish I was smart enough to know, but it seems like we are so, I don't know what the word is, but we in this day and age of media, we consume it. If I'm a liberal, I'll read a certain publication or a certain website and want to view what's happening in the news, view that through that lens. Or I may want to walk, if I'm a conservative, maybe watch Fox News or a different outlet and kind of view the news through my own lens, as opposed to just stepping back and wanting somebody to present it from a neutral standpoint. Well, neutral is probably not the best word, but just present it in a way where I have to take the facts and really digest them and not kind of put them through my own worldview.
That's the New York Times. Local to you, you've also written recently about a story in the Oklahoman on the Oklahoma City Council. What did you find?
Well, what I found was, and this was kind of just a story, a friend had tweeted about it. I guess the Oklahoma City Council had passed a sexual orientation measure this week, designed to protect gay and lesbian City of Oklahoma City employees from discrimination. And as part of that debate, obviously, you had citizens getting up for and against the measure at the meeting, and there's, you're reading through the story, and all of a sudden there's a pastor quoted who's identified as from a Baptist church. It says, cited a New York judge in saying more than half of murders in large cities are committed by gay people. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of an outrageous claim to put out there. And then the story, you know, they put that out there, and then the story just goes on, and there's no attempt at all to refute that or verify that or give any kind of context at all. It just seemed very strange to me.
A lot of things get said. I mean, I've been to city council meetings. A lot of things get said that probably aren't newsworthy.
Right.
Why do you think that one rose to the top and others more substantive objections didn't?
Well, I guess giving the paper and the reporter the benefit of the doubt, you know, that kind of wild statement's followed by that particular pastor received the longest standing ovation of the day after his remarks. So, you know, I can see from a news standpoint, the guy that gets the biggest ovation, maybe you do feel some obligation to quote him. I mean, the other thing would be that was the most outrageous thing that was said, and so it was kind of a gee whiz thing to put in the paper. But, I mean, I guess the frustrating part to me was if you're going to put something like that out there, to me, you know, you have some responsibility as a journalist to try to give readers some more context and details to understand whether the statement's as outrageous as it seems or, you know, exactly where it's coming from.
So with about 30 seconds, what context, minimal context, do you think was necessary in that particular story that would have helped?
Well, it's saying that this guy's pointing to a New York judge. Who was the judge? What did he say? Did he have any information to back it up? When was it said? You know, I'm in our comments on Get Religion, we had some links saying that's a 30-plus-year-old statement with not a lot of basis in fact, which to me is not something a major metro paper needs to be throwing out there without trying to figure out where it's coming from.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. The DVD is actually a four-part Bible study conducted by the president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison, on the theme that he has introduced and kind of shaped his administration around: witness, mercy, life together. The book is an attendant Bible study written by Dr. Albert Culver on witness, mercy, life together. If you look at Scripture, this is a really good way to think of the Christian life and of the church's life. Witness, mercy, life together. That's why it's the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for November, a book and a DVD. Find out more at our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find a link to both the DVD and the book, or you can call Concordia Publishing House and order both. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Witness, Mercy, Life Together, The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November.
The sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30, and find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November is a book and a DVD. It's a Bible study on three major themes in Scripture: witness, mercy, life together. Now, the DVD features four instructional videos by Lutheran Church Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison. You can purchase Witness, Mercy, Life Together by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, Witness, Mercy, Life Together.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Nurses for Life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Since 1973, when abortion was legalized, increasing numbers of morally challenging life issues confront healthcare professionals. In vitro fertilization, cloning, patient rights, and assisted suicide are just a few of the ethical dilemmas. More and more nurses report pressure to use unethical techniques in the name of healthcare. One group, Nurses for Life, offers support to men and women in the medical field as they work to preserve human dignity in all aspects of patient care. Nurses for Life helps those on the front lines of healthcare deliver quality care while preserving, protecting, and defending human life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.